This is are we talking?
We're talking. This is the real BS show.
The real BS show.
Real.
The freezing BS show.
It's real cold.
Man, is it cold outside.
Yeah.
Holy catfish. Just walking from the car to the building, I froze my face off.
Yeah. And we're stuffed, too. You know, we're a little extra hardcore at the fine dining restaurant.
Oh, man. I just want to go home and put wood in the fire and conk out.
Kick your feet back and...
Hey, you got to put a note on my website that says closed till spring.
Oh, yeah,
Don't forget that.
Yeah, no, we don't want to forget that. I should put it on there that, you know, Bill's open the whole winter and he's willing to go 200 miles as a joke and see what happens. I'm joking. I wouldn't do that to you, Bill.
Yeah, people call. I get 3 or 4 calls a day. I mean,
that's a good thing.
Say, I'm closed. I've had enough. I can't do this no more.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you.
It's too cold out, and it's buried. I'm buried in the snow down there. All the woods. I keep plowing it. Next thing you know, the wind blows and the snow comes down. And,
right.
Whew. Wow. It's just too much for me.
Yeah.
They should have thought about this back in November or something. You know.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, it's like they run out of milk or something. They run to the store and get milk. Well, you run out of wood.
Yeah.
People want to come with their trucks and just, you know, let me load them up. I said, no, I can't keep plowing all this. Everything's buried in the snow. I'm done. I'm not going out there.
Right.
If I plow, I got to use a tractor. Well, guess what? You're out in the open, you know.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Ooh-wee. There's no cab. There's no heaters, nothing. You know, you're out in the snow.
Right.
Ooh-wee.
So right.
I'm done. That's it. I quit.
He's like, I'm going to Florida. No joke. They got ice down there, too, you know.
Yeah, I bet they're getting shocked. You know, I bet they're getting surprised with all this cold weather.
Yeah.
Ooh. Probably Mikey is, too, I think. He's got a... snow cyclone or something coming at
probably
right
coming
at
that way.
Yeah, it's coming right at North Carolina. So
instead of beaches of sand, you got beaches of snow and ice.
They're gonna freak out. That's all I know.
Sure. I was in I was in Virginia, the western part of Virginia, not West Virginia, but the western part of Virginia, and they got barely half an inch, a quarter inch of snow, and we were leaving the hotel, and they were freaking out like, oh, be careful out there, it snowed. And I'm like, we didn't see the snow yet. And, you know, we're from Northwest Pennsylvania, so we thought, oh, they're just, you know, they're being serious about it. And we get out there, and we're like, ha, this is nothing. We drove off, and there was like, they closed the interstates down and everything. I'm sitting there, geez, we had to take roads and stuff, and everybody's going slow. And we're like, we had snow tires on with studs, and we're thinking, these people are nuts. I don't know.
It's a whole different ballgame, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, well, we can play some Yanni for a bit, and then we'll come back in and here and there, you know.
Yanni, it's nice stuff.
Mickey Yanni.
Hey, did I tell you about my grandson getting his brain surgery?
Go ahead.
Pittsburgh. Holy, they took him to Pittsburgh. They really liked the doctors. And they had to get there at like 4 in the morning. And at 7 o'clock, he went into surgery. And he was in surgery for 28 hours.
Oh, jeez.
28 hours of being in surgery.
He must have rotated doctors or something.
I don't know what they did. Some nurse or surgical assistance people that Hallie knows, they said that it's not unusual. You know, the doctors are used to this.
Right.
And they do this quite a bit. Thinking, wow, what a dedicated bunch. Whew. And every hour or so, they come out and say the patient's doing well, you know, and everything's going. But, you know, now they're in a recovery or whatever. What, you got a tube jammed down your throat.
Right.
Today's supposed to be the day that they maybe take that tube out.
Right.
And they said he woke up a little bit and he wanted to sit up, but he had so much stuff stuck in him and all around him, he couldn't. So they put mittens on them, and, you know, they do that to kids, especially kids, because they grab stuff. Put mittens on them, and then they strap them down. They strap their arms down.
Yeah.
And, wow, what an ordeal. And the hospital people just, I mean, they must be heaven sent, you know, to go through all that and know what to do. I mean, I don't know. They had to take a little chunk of his brain out. AVM, whatever that is, you know. And,
we looked it up earlier, and it's basically, it seems like it's a...
Tangled up web.
Veins and blood vessels that that aren't getting proper blood flow, and they can cause seizures and headaches and a lot of long list of things.
Well, so. He was having seizures for sure. That's, you know, and Mary Jo did her homework, and she came up with this. This doctor in Pittsburgh, and she really likes him.
Yeah.
And the guy is seems pretty sounds good to me, you know.
Right.
I know when Chris went through all of that with that Dr. Moosey, I think his name was, he was an idiot. He was a total jerk.
Yeah.
Total jerk. He thought he was God's gift to medicine or something.
Right.
And he totally screwed it all up. Totally. He didn't do anything for Chris. Make him miserable.
Yeah.
But when you see your kid, he wakes up with all these tubes and stuff stuck in him, and, you know, you just, oh, no. I didn't think Chris was going to make it.
Yeah.
And but the nurses were just outstanding. Just wonderful.
Yeah, medicine can be sometimes very good. You know, you look back, you know, you're with your grandson or even your son, you know, 100 years ago, they would have been probably dead.
Yeah, he would have made it.
You know, it's like, you know, now it's like, you know, there's a lot to live for, you know. You know, your son can see his kids grow and he can be there for them. That's, you know, people don't know when the void of someone losing somebody, that void is never filled. It's always empty. And it's even with your parents or your grandparents when they pass on, you're losing a lot, you know. Because there's a lot
something.
Of things. There's a lot of things you wish sometimes you could go back and ask your parents. You know, I mean, sure, your parents weren't, you know, the perfect knowledge of information.
Well, I always thought I knew more than they did.
Yeah,
you know, until I grew up, and then I figured out.
Well
maybe they do know a few things.
That's the thing that I realized as I matured too. Is, you know, I realized, you know, I was 23 years old, and I realized, wow, my parents were right on certain things. You know,
yeah.
It's just, you know, there's sometimes, you know, there's people who are not 100% right on everything, but. You should listen to the wisdom of people that are older, you know, because...
Yeah, at least listen, you know, and, you know, store it away, some of that information. And
You never know when you might need it. That's
Well, it sure comes back at you, and you know what? They were right.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have all the modern technologies and everything that we got, but...
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the basic stuff, they were... spot on.
You know, and also as someone that loves history, it goes the other way too, is, you know, throughout history, people always complained about the youth. You know, the youth don't want to read anymore. Or even before that, the youth want to read and write. You know, it's like, you know, Socrates.
Well, that's been going on forever.
Yeah, Socrates thought writing was stupid, you know, so
yeah.
You're to forget things is what he said. Maybe true. I don't know, but I do think, you know, it goes both ways. You know, the youth kind of do push the boundaries a little bit for a reason. Sometimes you have to, because sometimes tradition's wrong, but most of the time, tradition's right. You know, there's a lot of things it is right about, and you should probably listen to the.
I don't think we learn from our mistakes like we should.
No, that's another one too. So I had to learn to let my son fail. That's hard.
Yeah,
that's not easy to do. Because you don't want to see them fail, so you try to, like, don't fail. You know, you try to warn them, and then later on you let them fail. And then when he comes back and says, well, you know, you're right, and it's not that I want to hear that I'm right. I'm trying to prevent him from going down the wrong path. Or
I've been texting back and forth. Mary Jo's keeping, I don't know, there's like six of us on this text thing. And Summer and Chris and Hallie. And she's saying... And I texted her. I says, well, now this is where you're going to learn what true love is really all about.
Yeah.
When your kids are in trouble like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just tugs at your heart. You know, you just. But it's all out of your hands.
Yeah,
what can you do?
Yeah, you're up to the device.
It's up to all the experts and everything.
Yeah.
And what we don't like, you know. They insist, and so you have to go with their.
You said that they didn't have to put a drain in his skull, so that's a positive sign.
Yeah, that was a big positive. Yeah,
he's not bleeding.
I figured that out last night, and And so the doctor seems pretty happy about the way everything's going. And today should be the day they take that tube out of his throat.
Right.
You know, that's awful.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd come up with a better invention than that.
You would think, yeah.
It's like a one-inch tube they jam down your throat.
Yeah, but doesn't it also, besides giving you food, doesn't it also help you breathe?
That's what it's for, breathing. Yeah. Nothing about food, no.
Okay.
Food goes through your arms, and, you know.
Yeah.
Through those pumps and whatnot. Oh, boy. It's amazing what they do. I remember my mom was that way, and she flat out didn't want to be saved. She just let me go.
Yeah.
And I told the doctors that, and the one nurse was a good friend of mine, a head nurse at the ICU intensive care unit. She said a lot of this machinery and stuff that is just making payments. She said it's not necessary.
Some of it is, yeah. I mean.
So I told him, I said, just take this stuff off. Just take it all. Well, she's going to die before morning. I said, this is what she wanted. She didn't want this. I mean, you know, to see her with this big tube jammed down her throat and all these wires and tubes and whatnot. Just awful. And they said, well, she's going to be dead by morning. Well, they stopped, took all the stuff off. And the next morning she woke up and was talking to me.
Yeah.
Just like, holy smoke, she made this big recovery. But then they said, well, if you don't need all our stuff, then we got to kick you out.
Yeah.
So we had to go find a nursing home for her to stay in.
Yeah, the thing is, you know.
And they took her house.
Oh, jeez. They you know, the thing is with my parents have it in their, they have what's called a living will. It dictates what they want. You know, it's a very simple thing to have. It tells you exactly what you need to do, and if you don't want to be, saved, or you just want to be let go, you know, let to pass on, then that's what it does. It makes it.
I felt bad. I mean, I felt bad. I had Penny Coons to tell me. He says, "Look, half of this stuff is totally unnecessary.
Yeah,
they're just making payments with this stuff.
Right.
And so I just made that decision, and I felt really bad. But the next day, she was wide awake and talking.
Right.
I mean, it was like a miracle.
Right.
But then we had to go find a nursing home, and she lost her house. So.
Yeah.
But she didn't live that much long, a couple months maybe.
Right.
She only made it another couple months. But, boy, oh, boy, they just cut you open and start tearing stuff out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's. I guess they know what they're doing. You know. Well, what choice you got?
You don't live forever. That's the other thing.
Too. Yeah.
You know, as you age, your body starts falling apart.
Don't I know?
I'm feeling it now. I'm 40. Going to be 43, and it happens.
Once you hit 75, you're going to be really whining then.
Yeah. My dad's cousin is 90 years old, and he tells me every time I see him, and he's a nice guy. But he reminds me of his joints. His joints have major arthritis on him. Like, you can tell, it looks like he was a boxer, and he wasn't. And macular degenerative disease in his eyes, and he has to get injections. They have to stick a needle in his eyes. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, geez, just wrap me up and throw me in the... end it now.
Like, buy me a pair of glasses or something.
But he's pretty still mobile. He still drives around, and, you know, he goes grocery shopping, and sadly his wife...
Well, that's what I'm trying to think about, this firewood business.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people half my age wouldn't be doing this. I mean, it's just...
Especially
work,
in the cold.
Work. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah, especially in the cold, you know.
And then the way the people treat you, you know, they call you, well, how soon can you get over here?
Yeah.
So up yours.
that's, you know, I can relate to that. You know, to me, it's like, you know, the difference between public facing and, you know, when I deal with corporations versus just a solo person running a business. When I'm dealing with corporations, they're very polite, organized, usually. And people don't like hearing that. They're like, a lot of people are anti-corporation and don't realize that corporations are just very well organized, sometimes too organized, and they stall on things. That's the difference. Too much bureaucracy. But then you get the small businesses, and they're very demanding. They want to demand a lot of your time, because they think they're the most important person in the room.
Yeah, right here and now. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not how it works. I had to
tell somebody asked me that. I said, "How soon can you get here?" I said, "How about never?"
Yeah.
is that good enough for you?
What was their response to that?
That was it. I said, "I you know, they get nasty with me. That's it. Psh, boom, yeah,
I don't blame you.
I'm out of here. But that's I don't need your business. I got too much already."
Yeah. That's what I view as you know, when they do put people in their place when they get that way with me. Because it's like, corporations never talk to me that way, whereas it's solo business owners do. And it's like, that's not how you do business.
Yeah.
You know, you figure out what both work. Because you can't deliver something, you know, I'm using wood as an example, same with programming. You can't deliver it instantly. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
it's not for sure. It's not
like,
McDonald's.
Like they're not the only ones on the list, you know. I said, I get 20 calls a day, you know, and sometimes I miss them. Yeah. There's some calls I don't even call back because I miss them.
Yeah. Or you get people calling all the way from the other side of the state. Yeah. That's always funny when you tell me those ones. I get a kick out of that. You got a guy call you from Titusville, Florida. I remember that one.
Yeah, he didn't even know it. Yeah, and I finally told him. He said, "Oh, holy smokes!"
It was like
he apologized. I mean, he didn't.
But it was like who's on first base?
Laurel Hardy or something.
Yeah. It was like that because you go back and forth for a bit talking about Titusville, and oh, I'm only so far from Titusville, and you're
they're Titusville. He was right behind the Home Depot.
Yeah.
You know, which we got a Home Depot, you know, it's Oil City, or Cranberry, but it sounded the same. Well, there's a Walmart and Home Depot and it's all right behind. I said, but it just didn't sound right. There's nothing behind ours, you know, but he was behind his and we went on for quite a while before I finally figured. I said, "Where the heck are you?" Titusville, Florida. Oh, well, there's the problem.
Gosh, that's so funny. When you told me the whole story of that one, and just that little bit there was just a segment of it, because you guys did go on for like, 10, 20 minutes?
I told him I'd deliver. I can deliver to you, but I said it's going to be about $4,000 for me to get down there. A face cord of wood, you know.
Gosh.
Shoot.
That's the funniest one, I think, of all. Because that one is like, wow. But the one that was near Philly, that was kind of funny, too.
Yeah, they
it was Pinocchio's or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
I don't know. It's you know, it's for me, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, if people want it and I can do it, fine.
Yeah.
If I can't,
they're
not going to threaten me into anything because I don't need it. You know, I don't care if I don't sell another stick of wood the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know,
there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like this entitlement is the problem, I think. You know, there's too many people entitled to think they're owed something.
But then there's a lot of people, at least down around my way, that depend on wood to heat their house.
Yeah.
I mean, older guys. And I said, whenever you're in trouble, just call me.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I don't care what the weather is.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a half a dozen or so.
But even still then, you're like, you're limited on what you can do because you only can split so much wood. You can only stack so much wood. You can't, you know, you're it's even a young guy can't do that much. You know, they run out of wood, you know, and even, you know.
Well, you try to pull a 2,000-pound trailer down a snow-covered, ice-covered road.
Yeah.
You're taking your life in your hands. That trailer puts you right through the stop signs. You know, you got to go slow and take it easy and hope for the best.
I just, even in the summertime, I remember one time it was raining and I had a tarp over the trailer and I was driving my truck. It was a 5.9 liter V8 truck and I was able to haul the trailer fine, but it was raining and someone pulled out in front of me and I remember I had. I was basically putting all my weight on the brakes to stop. My butt was off the chair pushing on the brakes. And, you know, clutch and brakes, hold on almost all the way down. And this car, I came about 5 feet from hitting him, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, holy cow. I'm thinking, I'm going to kill this person. Because not I wasn't wanting to murder him, but almost killed him. But because they made a stupid mistake of pulling in front of me.
Yeah, you can't. You never know what the other guy's going to do. I'm telling you,
it's a lot of weight. I had a lot of weight on the trailer too. You know, it was about.
It'll push you. I mean, it pushed that 2,000 pounds of wood on my trailer, it'll push me.
Yeah, and you feel it too, you know, when you're braking, you can feel that push.
Well, you get out on an ice-covered, snow-covered road.
Yeah.
So this is stupid.
Yeah. Even with chains, it's stupid, you know. Even chains on tires is stupid.
No, that's, yeah.
Like, I remember one time, and I seen a Abrams tank, and I got to look it up how much does an Abrams...
What are they, for 30, 40,000 pounds?
Oh, I think 70 tons.
Oh, geez.
And I seen it slide on ice, you know. It was, and I never seen something like that. And then I asked my father, who worked in heavy equipment machinery, and he said... Oh, yeah, excavators all the time, even the big ones, the big boys, they slide, too, on the ice without even hesitation. They weigh about half that, you know? And it's like, so weight doesn't matter to snow and ice.
Well, the whole country's figuring that out. This ice thing, just shut down. I mean, there's over a million customers without power, and it's down in the teens or even lower. I think they're up to, this morning I saw it was like 60 people who died from hypothermia.
Yeah.
They find them.
Well, you know, when you think about it, ice gets on the power lines, it destroys the power. That means even natural gas and electric don't work. And so you're screwed. You have no heat. Your water freezes. What do you do? Where do you go? I can see that happening. Thank God I have wood heat. That's it, you know.
Yeah, I got wood heat, and I got my own water system, and that's all. I'm really... pretty much, you know, I can keep it running. It's not a problem. And it's amazing. That spring out back of my house, it never freezes. Never.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 10 below zero. It's still running.
It's probably... Well, I wonder if you put a thermometer up to it and see what the temperature is coming out of it as close as you can.
Oh, it's like 40 degrees
or really?
Something. Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I know the well I have is about 50 degrees coming out. And sometimes it gets down a little bit down in the 40s, but never... freezing, so it must be deep enough to have that ground temperature.
While the water's running, it doesn't like to freeze. No. If it's moving.
The other one too is I've been looking into where you run lines and use pipeline glycine, which is safe. It's not hazardous to humans. We use it in a lot of different things, and you pipe that through and transfer the heat out of the ground. And I've been looking into that kind of thing as well, that it could be, you could run underneath your whole house and have your floor warmed up from it. That's sounds interesting.
I see a lot of people do that. They got electric heaters that heat the water, and it runs through pipes in the basement floors, and definitely makes a difference, but it's not cheap.
But the one with the ground temperature thing, it's just the ground heating it, not electricity, which... Yeah. You just need a pump, you know, and it never freezes, you know. So, because now, you know, they used to use antifreeze that killed dogs and cats, right? Now they don't, and people think that's dangerous, and it's not. It's actually, you could drink that stuff almost. Not saying you should, but, you know.
Yeah, it won't catch up to you for 5 or 6 years.
You'll be fine, because
then you'll glow in the dark.
We use it in food, we use it in medicine, we use it in inhalers, if you know anyone that uses an inhaler, and vaping. People that vape have it in their vape stuff, and it's like no one thinks about that because it's safe. But it's in your car antifreeze now is what it uses, because it doesn't freeze. It works great. It also prevents mold and bacteria growth. Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
it's a weird thing.
I don't know. I'm just hoping for the best for Mary Jo and John and Tyler.
Yes.
Brittany, Bobby, that whole family.
I never Bobby being an intern for me for a while. Hopefully he's doing
well. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, hopefully he's doing well.
You know what he's doing? He's transporting body parts.
Oh, yeah?
Down in Pittsburgh. Yeah, he takes lungs and hearts and carries them from one place to another place and delivers them.
Oh, yeah.
Making a fortune.
Yeah, I bet. that's a job there. Definitely needed. Yeah, that's a crazy thing to think that we can do that nowadays.
Who knew? I mean, who would ever think you'd be doing that when you're in high school? I want to deliver body parts.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
He's providing a service that's definitely needed. You know?
Yeah. Because he's doing a good job, you know.
Hey, there you go. You know?
get to where you're going without getting in a crash or whatever.
That's not a job that's going to disappear anytime soon.
Getting to be more and more. Well, even with
3D printing organs, they're doing that now. He's going to probably still be the one that's transporting them. Because you think about it, they had to print them here and then take them over there, you know? Because you can't do the printing in the same place.
Well, they do lungs, kidneys, and all kind of body parts. Eyes. They transport eyes.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Who'd ever thought that 100 years ago?
No. Because, some of those people are on organ rejection medicine that prevents organ rejection. And when they get 3D printing organs, because they already got that going somewhat, they have it with the kidneys and a few other organs they got working pretty well. But once they get that going, oh boy, that's going to change everything, because you won't have to worry about taking medicine to help prevent your body rejecting the organ. So it's going to be interesting times. We're seeing it now.
So what do you got playing in the background there?
Oh, Yanni.
Yanni, yeah.
The very best.
Might be good. We got to do a quickie today, because I can't be gone from my house more than 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, same here.
It'll freeze up.
We both got wood heat.
Yeah, my wood heater's small, very small, like 14-inch cube, so I stuff it full of wood, and then I can go away for 3 or 4 hours and come back, and it's still 60 in the 60s, but with this super-duper cold weather, I left my house. I don't know what it was this morning, I forgot, but it was 7 degrees when I left, and I got all the way up here to Union City, and it warmed up, clear up to 8.
Yeah,
it was 8 degrees.
Yeah, heat wave.
Oh, this is awful.
You know, the sad truth is, though, Bill, your wood is the best burning wood. It's so dry. It's not too dry. But
it's the right kind of wood, too.
Yeah, it's the right kind. It's really good. And I have to tell you, it lights right up, and it don't have much ash. I've only had to clean
it. Right, it's like just dust in the bottom there.
And I don't have to clean it out maybe once every month and a half or 2 months.
Yes, I noticed that. I fill chunk it all full of wood, and 4 or 5 hours later, there's nothing but ash in
there.
Just
a light little bit of ash.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I could use ash to, lay it on my driveway.
Or sidewalk.
There's not enough to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what the heck,
It's not chunks of coal or chunks of wood and stuff that didn't burn that.
I also turned the air intake down a lot, because I don't want it to burn too fast.
Well, mostly what you got was maple and cherry. And there's certain kinds that burn hot, but they burn completely.
It has good BTU on it,
Right.
I think it's sad that, I understand why you have to close for spring. So we're going to
Screw it. I'm saving my own self, I can't go out there and freeze to death every day.
You got to worry about your fingers, You don't mess around with your appendages.
That's stupid. I went out and spent $40 for a pair of gloves. They don't work any better than nothing else.
I even got him a pair of leather rawhide gloves.
Those are as good as those big expensive ones I got.
But, the thing is I use those rawhide ones for hunting, and they do work until they get tore open. If the rawhide gets tore, then... You're getting the cold in.
Well, I haven't ripped mine up yet, and I use them as chunk wood.
Oh, I have.
That's tough on the gloves.
Yeah, but we'll get to this and let some Yanni play.
All right, that sounds good. Relax and just sit there and look out the window and watch the. I feel sorry for the birds and the deer out there.
Yeah.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah, the deer are loving it.
I don't know.
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay, we'll catch up to you in a little bit here.
Thank you.
This is the Real BS Show.
Yes.
On a cold, blustery winter day. How long do you think this is going to last?
Oh, man, I don't know. That's a good question.
I've been hearing it's going to be a couple of weeks of this nonsense, and then it should start warming up to clear up into the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, I see that. You know, we have another, like, you know, I've been paying attention to the 10-day because I'm trying to plan out, you know. Oh, they were saying, like, Monday it's supposed to be 26.
Wow.
So,
heat wave.
Yeah, heat wave. And then it's going to be back down to the 17s, 14s again.
Well, that's still a heat wave. This minus every morning is just
pretty rough,
bone crunching. Yeah,
but I'm getting used to it, which is the scary part because I recognize that we're gonna probably have a heat wave in the summer. We'll probably get warm again. Yeah.
Well, I ain't gonna complain anymore.
We will. We still will.
You know, I'm sure it was like this when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I remember we had so much snow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And we're out there sled riding, tobogganing,
yeah,
freezing to death.
Yeah.
But we're having fun.
Yeah.
Every winter. It didn't seem to bother nobody.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Now, holy catfish.
Yeah. Every ache.
I can't even look out there. Just, ugh.
Every joint and every pain you have, that, you know, it comes through.
That's what Chris said. You know, he's out in Arizona. He says when he gets out there, all his aches and pains go away.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it must be, the weather, the
dry
humidity
heat,
or something,
yeah,
whatever. It's,
yeah.
He said it's just no pain whatsoever.
Yeah.
I says, wow, that's pretty amazing.
If he's out there during the summer, he'd see a difference, though. He'd be
it gets too hot then, yeah. No, he knows he's got to come home.
My brother admitted that when he went to Florida. The humidity and the heat helped him. But they have a very different humidity there than we do. You step out, you open the door, and you feel the heat, the humidity slap you in the face.
Yeah, I remember Alabama was just awful.
Yeah,
just their summer was like our winter. You couldn't go outside and do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You just forget it, you know.
That's why when these people talk about, oh, I love the South, you know, for the heat, I'm sitting there thinking, geez, you just go from AC to AC. You're not out there in the heat.
Yeah, right, right. That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, we got to make this a quickie, so
yeah.
I'm going to say goodbye. Let's say goodbye and
wish
everybody stay safe. I mean, boy, oh, boy, if you don't have to go out there. Get your groceries delivered to you or something.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Make sure you tip them.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I tell you. It's just dangerous. I mean, it's just ugly out there. The roads are slippery.
Yeah.
Very slippery. I don't think the ice works the salt works when it goes below 20 or
That's
something.
That's what they say, yeah.
It's just ugly looking. And every time I'm driving and some idiot's got to pull right up, you know, right 10 feet behind you.
Yep.
Going down the road, I slow down. I just slow right down.
That's what my father does.
Yeah, I say, okay, buddy, you want to? You're in a hurry? Let's go 20 miles an hour instead of 40.
Yeah.
Some people get it, but most don't. You know.
Yeah.
So, anyways, everybody, stay warm, stay healthy. Just know that in a few weeks or a month or so, this is going to be over.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to normal, hopefully.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, right. All right. I'll see you next week, Seth.
See you.